Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. I have been sitting on this podcast for a little while now, and that's because other things have come up in between, and I just want to make sure to cover those topics. So now that I've had a chance, I want to go back and revisit this. This is a podcast specifically covering one of ACEPS, the American College of Emergency Physicians, recent guidelines on non-ST elevation acute coronary syndromes, basically NSTEMIs. And they covered four critical issues that come up, and they answer that in four questions. Most of these are level C recommendations. None of these are level A recommendations, and only two of them are level B recommendations, which we're going to cover here in just a second. It's worth remembering that this is only intended for adult patients 18 years or older who are presenting with undifferentiated chest pain or other complaints or conditions that are suspicious for NSTEMI. Basically, this doesn't include pediatric patients or those who receive a diagnosis of NSTEMI incidentally. So let's go into the first question. In adult patients without evidence of ST elevation acute coronary syndrome, can initial risk stratification be used to predict a low rate of 30-day major adverse cardiac events? Their level B recommendation was, in adult patients without evidence of ST elevation acute coronary syndrome, the history, ECG, age, risk factors, and troponin, which we know as the heart score combined, can be used as a clinical prediction instrument for risk stratification. A low score, which is 3 or less, predicts a 30-day major adverse cardiac event miss rate within a range of 0 to 2%. This is covering multiple key important aspects we need to know about. So 3 or less is the general way that we accept these results. The reason why it's worth specifying this is because there are some newer pieces of literature that point towards higher potential scores, including 5. But keep in mind, this has some limitations with it. Now, they do cover clinically relevant adverse cardiac events in those papers, which is kind of nice because our traditional MACE, our major adverse cardiac events, includes things that I don't know how good they are to lump these together. Like death is a really big deal, but these patients with 3, for example, or less, usually don't have that. Now, we also have to remember that there are some exceptions to this. So, for example, if I have a patient with significant ECG changes in a positive troponin, those patients are probably going to stay no matter what. So that score of 3 may not always be always true, which is why we have to keep that in mind. But that's why they talk about non-ST elevation MIs. The final part I want to mention right here is I'm so happy that they accepted the fact that we will not have a 0% miss rate, which has been something that it seems like in the United States, we have had this, you know, kind of feeling where we have to have a 0% miss rate, which is not realistic. I mean, we are going to miss some cases, and most patients are willing to avoid the overtesting and complications that can occur if we decide to push the limits on every single patient, which ties in nicely with the level C recommendation. So in adult patients without evidence of ST elevation, acute coronary syndrome, other risk stratification schools, such as the thrombolysis and myocardial infarction, that's the TIMI score, can be used to predict a rate of 30-day major adverse cardiac events. You can also potentially use clinical gestalt that has sometimes also been used, and I think is still used by quite a few people who aren't using the heart or even the TIMI scores. But keep in mind that there's less evidence supporting TIMI or even clinical gestalt than there is compared to the heart score. So maybe we need to at least consider using the heart score more for that reason. The second question, in adult patients with suspected acute non-ST elevation acute coronary syndromes, can troponin testing within 3 hours of emergency department presentation be used to predict a low rate of 30-day major adverse cardiac events? So basically, can we just go with the troponin? And none of these were level A or B recommendations. They were all level C. Essentially, what they talk about is using either serial troponins with our standard testing or using a single high sensitivity troponin. So when it came to serial, which is the first part, in adult patients with suspected acute non-ST elevation acute coronary syndrome, conventional troponin testing at 0 and 3 hours among low-risk acute coronary syndrome patients defined by a heart score of 0 to 3 can predict an acceptable low rate of 30-day major adverse cardiac events. So what they're advocating here is that initial door one and then 3 hours later repeating it. And if they're negative on both, then we could potentially say that they're otherwise low risk if we follow the heart score. Now, the second point was a single high sensitivity troponin result below the level of detection on arrival to the emergency department or a negative serial high sensitivity troponin result at 0 and 2 hours is predictive of a low rate of major adverse cardiac events. So basically at high sensitivity, if you have a negative one on arrival or if you have a negative serial troponin, you can clear these patients at 2 hours as well. Finally, in adult patients with suspected acute non-ST elevation acute coronary syndrome who are determined to be low risk based on validated accelerated diagnostic pathways that include a non-ischemic ECG result and negative serial high sensitivity troponin testing results, both at presentation and at 2 hours can predict a low rate of 30-day major adverse cardiac events, allowing for an accelerated discharge pathway from the emergency department. Here, what we're talking about is basically there's the heart score pathway where they have an accelerated discharge. And if these patients fall into that category, you can use that as well. Ultimately, this is going to be dependent on if you have these high sensitivity troponins being able to do it this way. Their third question was in adult patients with suspected acute non-ST elevation acute coronary syndromes in whom acute myocardial infarction has been excluded, does further diagnostic testing, such as provocative stress tests, computed tomography, angiography, for acute coronary syndromes prior to discharge reduce 30-day major adverse cardiac events? Their level B recommendation was to not routinely use further diagnostic testing, such as coronary CT angiography, stress testing, myocardial perfusion imaging prior to discharge in low-risk patients in whom acute myocardial infarction has been ruled out to reduce 30-day major adverse cardiac events. So what they're saying here is don't do all this extra testing just because you think it might help reduce it, because it really doesn't seem to help in that way. Their level C recommendation was to arrange follow-up in 1 to 2 weeks for low-risk patients in whom myocardial infarction has been ruled out. If no follow-up is available, consider further testing or observation prior to discharge. And this is a consensus recommendation. The reason why it's important to specify this is because we need to remember that a lot of these patients can safely have follow-up, but if we can't assure that they don't have a PCP or we don't believe that realistically they'll be able to see their PCP in 1 to 2 weeks, you may need to be able to either keep them in the hospital or be able to do some form of other testing. So this patient may not always be the one that we can do that accelerated discharge pathway. Their fourth question was, should adult patients with acute non-ST elevation myocardial infarction receive immediate antiplatelet therapy in addition to aspirin to reduce 30-day major adverse cardiac events? They had no level A or B recommendations, and their level C recommendations was kind of a shrug of saying that P2Y12 inhibitors and glycoprotein 2B or 3A inhibitors may be given in the emergency department or delayed until cardiac catheterization. And I think this is a nice way of saying basically, like, you can talk to your cardiologist, see what they recommend, and go from there, because these patients are a unique population, and realistically, we need to decide on an individual basis what's really going to work. So this level C recommendation really doesn't have as much of a role as what I'd like to see, but I think it's a nice way to help kind of avoid some issues. So what should we take away from all this? Well, basically, we can now actually do things the way we should. You know, if we have high sensitivity troponin, great, or just use repeat conventional troponin testing like we have been doing. Realize that, you know, these additional tests that we're sometimes doing, such as coronary CTA, is probably not necessary, especially in patients where we have good follow-up. So let's quit doing that. And stress testing is not always the best thing to do either. So for me, this is going to help because now I have some stronger evidence. It's not just the things that you hear on the quote unquote rogue podcasts or individuals who are throwing out these ideas based on some research. We now have a set of clinical guidelines that is supporting us. So take a look for yourselves, read through the paper, see what you think. I'm going to include the full PDF, which has all the research and citations to go with it, on the website as well. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.